Good to be in the Lord's house this morning, and we're so glad that you've chosen to be with us. Those who are visiting, we want you to know you're especially welcome, and we pray that God would bless every member, every visitor, anybody that's out in the parking lot listening over their car radio, anybody that's listening later over the website. We welcome you into the presence of the Lord. For truly, it's not just a gathering of people, it's a gathering in the presence of the Lord to witness, to worship, to honor Him, to hear from Him. And I always pray that, Lord, we'll have spiritual ears to hear. Spiritual ears to hear what the Lord's saying to His people. It's good to be in His presence and to worship Him. May we pray. Father God, as we come into Your presence this morning, we come through the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name. We bow to honor the One who is holy, 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 the Lamb who is worthy to be praised. And Father, the presence of the Lord is so welcome in this place today. May we hear from You. May we respond to You. Lord, You know the needs of each person that's here today. It may be physical, it may be spiritual, it may be financial, emotional, or relationship. But Father, I thank You that in Your power and in Your wisdom, Your grace, Your mercy, there's not a need but what You can meet it. And so, Father, we just surrender our wills to Your will that we might receive from You that which we need the most. And may our lives honor You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Reed, and good morning, everyone. Good to see you this morning. As we do every Sunday morning, as we start and we'll do our hymn sing, we go back to the hymnal and we picked a hymn to sing this morning. This one we haven't sung in a long, long time, and that's page 280, but it's Be on the Board. You see the words there. Let's all stand and sing together, Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross. There.
Jesus.
Thank you. Remain standing for prayer, please. Be seated. Share some announcements with you at this time. You have them in your bulletin, but we'll go over them to be sure that we're all where we need to be when we need to be there. First, let's look at today as right after worship service today at 11, church council will meet. We'll meet down in the fellowship hall. So everybody come down to the fellowship. If you're on the council, do that, please. All right. Yes. Okay. All right. She ill this morning? Keep her in prayer. Okay. All right. And then next Sunday, we've got a pastor search committee meeting at 11. And so let's keep that in your mind too for the youth pastor search committee. Okay. Adult choir practice March dates will be Wednesday, March the 26th. And just so let's keep that in mind also. We need to plan for some Easter music, so Ms. Tonda, we'll get on that, and we'll make sure we get that handled. While we're talking about Easter, you see the Easter schedule has been added to your bulletin. As we know, we start with a sunrise service here, so our sunrise will be at 6:40 service. We'll have full breakfast here at 7 o'clock, and I'm not talking about donuts and coffee. I'm talking about full breakfast, so you all have come here and be prepared to eat a bunch, okay? That'll be good.
What time's cooks?
Cooks will need to be here by 5 o'clock, please. 5, 6, 7, yeah, 2 hours. Yeah, 5 o'clock be fine for the cooks. And early risers we are, so we're going to do that. Okay, and then 8 o'clock will be Easter service. Now, I want you to notice that there'll be no Sunday school that day. So right after we have our meal, our breakfast, we'll come up here and adjourn and ready for 8 o'clock worship. So that just keep that in mind. We'll do a little bit different. So you Sunday school teachers, you're going to get just a little bit of a break. So then we'll just come on up at 8 o'clock for worship, okay? Updates, the phone numbers, you keep that in mind. You keep that coming too because we need the information. Make sure that we get everything done for that, okay? Annie Armstrong Easter offering month of the March and April, and our goal, let's see, Brenda, our goal is $1,500 is our goal, so we'll be do that for that. Are there any announcements I may have overlooked at all?
Larry,
yo.
I need the Baptist men to be thinking about a date in April for the retreat. So
okay. Yeah, I would like to say to you, all you men and boys, that if you've never been to one, you need to do that. It's very uplifting. We have a good time. We eat a lot. We fish a lot. We play a lot. But we study a lot. And it's all good. It's all good. So I encourage you to take time to do this. And Jeff will keep you posted. That's right. You get to talk. We talk about you if you're not there, right? That's okay. All right. All right. So seriously, guys, let's do that. All right. Any other announcements? Yes. Saturday, April 5th?
5th.
8 to 12?
10 to 12.
We don't want to get 8 o'clock.
No,
10 to 12. 10. I thought we were going to have some cooked eggs too. 10 to 12. All right. All right. You, me. I tell you what, the eggs are so expensive now, we could probably use plastic eggs anyway, won't we?
Yeah.
I got to tell, I'm going to share this with you. The last breakfast we had here, I figured it up, and after we bought eggs, I paid about $1 a piece for the eggs, so roughly close to it. I know you may not. It's true, absolutely. So maybe that'll all change, we hope. Yeah, coming down, you'll know. Our food line lady will know. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Any other announcements anywhere? Well, that we'll now go to our prayer requests. I have several that have been given to me already this morning. We have a Pam Louder that has surgery coming up. Jay Julius, let's remember Jay. Jay's got surgery coming up too. A valve replacement, I believe, Lori. That's coming up. Let's keep him in our prayers as well. Chase Hartzell family, lost of a loved one there. And the Roger Eford family, a lost of a loved one. Are there others that I need to add this morning? Anywhere? All right, with that being said, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for another opportunity you've given us to be in your house for worship. And Lord, we acknowledge who you are. You're an awesome, awesome, powerful God. And Lord, we come to you thanking you first for the blessings. But now, Lord, we have those we need to lift up to you, Lord, that needs help. And Lord, we know you're all powerful, you're all able. So we pray for these people today specifically with the Pam Louder as she is having surgery, Jay Julius surgery, the Chase Hartzell as they've lost a loved one, and Roger Eford family as they've lost a loved one. But then Lord, we also remember our church, Barbie's Grove. Remember your church in Barbie's Grove. We pray for it, Lord, and lift it up to you. We pray for each one, the leadership, every teacher. Pray for Pastor Ed. Pray for the deacons as we go and do your work here. And now, Lord, go with us in our service today, throughout the continuation of this service today. We pray for Pastor Ed as he comes and gives the message today. And these blessings, Lord, I pray in your name. Amen. I've got a song that I want to sing, and I've heard this song done in a lot of ways, and the way I heard it the last time was a cappella. I'm going to sing the first two verses. I'm going to sing them solo to you, and then I want you to join me in that first verse again, and we'll sing it together. It has to do with trusting in the Lord. Our Sunday school lesson had a lot to do about trust. This song talks about asking God to lead and direct and guide. And even though when you may feel down, you may feel depressed, just ask God to take your hand and lead you on. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm,
take my hand. Precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call. Hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
Stand and help me sing that third verse, please.
When the darkness appear and the night draws near and the day is past and gone, at the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Nick, amen.
Last week, we began a look at the characteristics of the New Testament church. I reminded you that when I was growing up, they kept telling me Southern Baptists are the most like the New Testament church of any denomination. Are we? Are we really? What about Barber's Grove Baptist Church? How much like the New Testament church are we? Last week we looked at the foundation of the New Testament church, which was the Word of God. They were founded upon what? Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. And I told you to run from any Sunday school teacher, friend, or pastor that says the Bible's old-fashioned, out of date, not relevant for today. Because the Bible was, is, and always will be the Word of God, God's word to his people. My word shall stand forever, the Lord says. Now today we want to look at a second characteristic of the New Testament church. And as I did last week, I'm going to look at a lot of scriptures, so you might want to write some of these down and look at them later. And the New Testament church was a place where prayer was a priority. Turn with me to Luke 11. Luke 11. And we'll start at verse 1 of Luke 11. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Is it interesting? As far as we know, there's no place in the New Testament where the disciples said, Lord, teach us to teach. Teach us to preach. Teach us how to heal. Teach us how to do miracles. Teach us how to cast out demons. Now, Jesus showed them how to do all of that, but that wasn't their question. The Lord, teach us how to pray. They had seen something about the prayer life of Jesus that was different from their prayer life. They were used to, as good Jewish boys, they were used to praying. But you know, there's a difference between saying prayers and really praying. Amen. There's a difference between saying prayers and just really praying. Now, you just think for a moment. After the service this morning, I'll walk up to you and say, Brother, I'd like to talk to you a minute. Okay. And I pull out this little tape player and I hit a little button. And it spouts off what's in my voice, what's on my mind. I hit the end button or stop button, stick it in my pocket and walk off. You think, well, that's a weird conversation. And then I run into you down at Ingles or Walmart or someplace next week and I say, I want to talk to you some more. And I pull out and pop that little button, say the same thing to you all over again. And 5 years from now, I'm still pulling out that little player and popping that same button. Is that what we do sometimes? We've got this little rote prayer that we pray, and that's not real prayer. Real prayer is communication. Real prayer is talking to the Lord and listening to the Lord. Real prayer is allowing the Holy Spirit to begin to bring a reply and a communication. You know, after being, of course, you know, Pamela's passed away, but after being married 50-some years, I could be preaching away, and I look over here where she's sitting, and I knew I said the wrong thing. She didn't have to stand up and say, you're an idiot. I could just look at her. I could just look at her and knew I'd said, or I could look at her and knew I'd said the right thing. Because we had developed over a period of years a communication. And that's what the Lord wants with you. Not just you say the same little rote prayer you've been saying since 1953 or whenever, but a communication where you talk with him and he talks with you. Now, Jesus goes on to say, well, now here's the way to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, we're not going to go into a whole lot about that, but you notice we recognize God as our Heavenly Father. We honor him. Hallowed means we praise you, we worship you, we honor you. And then we surrender our will. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. We're surrendered to him. We're not here with our agenda. We're surrendered our agenda to him. And then we talk about our daily bread. And then we talk about forgiving our brothers who have offended us. And then we ask the Lord to keep us from temptation. That's a good outline. It's okay to pray that prayer, I guess, in some group settings, but it's an outline of how we approach God with worship, with surrender, with request. And then, you know, in I think it maybe it's in Matthew's version of this prayer, it ends up, thine is the kingdom, the glory, power, forever and ever. And we end up worshiping him some more. So the importance of fellowshipping with the Heavenly Father is so, so important. Now, if you flip on over to the Gospel of John, John chapter 14, Jesus gave his disciples a couple of extra instructions. John 14, verses 12 through 14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus talks about the power of prayer. He talks about the fact that we ask in his name. We go to the Father in the name of Jesus. We go to the Heavenly Father in the name of the Jesus. Our prayers are through Jesus. to the Heavenly Father. And he said, if you ask in my name, he said, I'll do it. Now, if we ask out of God's will, if we get out of the will of God, we can't expect an answer. We ask according to his will. Now, how did that play out in the New Testament church? Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 1. And here's where we're going to look at a whole bunch of scriptures in Acts, chapter 1. Was prayer a priority of the New Testament church? Or as you know, Jesus told the disciples, I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. They didn't really have an idea of what was coming. And they didn't until the day of Pentecost. But Jesus said, you go back to Jerusalem and you don't move a muscle, in a sense, until you receive that which I'm sending. And so he ascends then into heaven. And so Acts 1 verse 12 says, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And they were come in, they went into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. They all continued what? With one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, with Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. While they were waiting, they didn't know what they were waiting on, but while they were waiting, they prayed. While they were waiting, they prayed. And sometimes we don't know what the will of God is in a certain situation, but we wait and we pray. We wait and we pray. Verse 24 of chapter 1. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knoweth the hearts of all men, show whether of these two you have chosen. Now, the context of that is this. They're sitting there and they said, now, wait a minute. There were 12 of us. And Judas betrayed Jesus, went out and hung himself. We need to replace Judas. And so they looked around and they said, who shall we have to pray to replace Judas? And what does it say they do? They prayed and said, Lord, show us. Show us the replacement for Judas. They didn't just any, many, mighty, mo pick him out. They prayed and said, Lord, who is your will? Chapter 2 of Acts, go to verse 41 and 42. Day of Pentecost, 3,000 were saved. Verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in what? The apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. Not only did those early disciples, that 120 in the upper room, pray, but as soon as this 3,000 were added to the church, they were incorporated into the prayer life of the church. They were in prayer. You flip on over to chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And you remember the story there. They encounter this man who's lame. He looks at Peter and he's wanting money. And Peter says, I don't have any money to give you, but what I've got, I'll give you. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And he takes him by the hand, and the man who's not walked in forever jumps up and goes into the temple, and he's dancing and running and leaping and praising God. You see, they were faithful at the hour of prayer, and a miracle happened. They were faithful at an hour of prayer, and a miracle happened. All because two men, and I don't know whether how many of the others went, but these two were there. All right, Acts chapter 4. Well, you know, the background of this scripture is this. After they'd healed the guy, they told him, don't preach anymore in his name of Jesus. And they kept preaching, so they arrested him. And they told him, don't preach in the name of Jesus anymore. And when you get to Acts 4, verse 23, they turned them loose. And being let go, they went to their own company, reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God in one accord. They prayed, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that within them is. And then skip down to verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Isn't it interesting? They didn't call a lawyer. They didn't make signs and go picket City Hall or the courthouse. They got on their knees and talked to God. And when they said, Lord, we want you glorified in this situation. And because we want you glorified in this situation, the result, the building shook. They were filled with the Holy Spirit again, and they preached the word of God with boldness. In other words, prayer was their driving force. Prayer was what was important. You flip on over to chapter 6. And this is where they elected those first deacons. Chapter 6, verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. The election of the first deacons was a prayer encounter. They didn't just put those men out there. They were prayed over. Chapter 7, verse 60. Stephen was such a powerful, he was one of the first deacons. He was such a powerful speaker, got him in trouble. They took him out and stoned him. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Even while he was being stoned, killed as the first martyr in the Christian era, he was praying for those who persecuted him. Now that takes a lot of commitment to pray for people that are hurting you. But back over the Lord's Prayer, Jesus told us to pray, Father, you forgive them. You forgive me as I forgive them. Our prayers of forgiveness activate the power of God. All right, chapter 9. You're getting a picture here that somehow or another the New Testament church was a praying bunch. Chapter 9, verse 40. And this is where the lady Dorcas, or Tabitha, had died, and they sent for Peter. And
So Peter goes into the upper room where she is in verse 40. Peter put them all forth, kneeled down, and prayed, turning to the body of, said, Tabitha, arise. She opened her eyes, and she saw Peter and sat up. He brought a lady back from the dead through his prayer life. Chapter 12. And they, Herod the king, if you go to verse 1, arrested James and killed him, and the brother of John, and everybody was so excited about that. He arrested Peter and he was going to put him to death. And verse 3, no, it's verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Again, they didn't call their lawyer. They didn't go pick at the jail or the city hall or Herod's palace. They prayed. And you remember the story. Peter was asleep. Angel came and woke him up. Said, put on your coat, your shoes. Let's get out of here. The gate's open. And next thing you know, Peter's walking down the street and he looks around, thought he was in a dream, and then he realizes, hey, I'm free. They were praying for him. We'll look at two more scriptures. Go with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and we'll look at verse 18. Now, this is the passage where he talks about putting on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the girdle of truth, etc., etc. And he concludes that with saying, praying always with all prayer and supplication to the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance, supplication for all saints. Paul says, you in all kind of prayer and keep on praying. All kind of prayer and keep on praying. And the final one is Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He said, don't worry, pray. That's easier said than done, isn't it? We have a tendency to worry instead of pray. Paul writes these of Philippians and says, don't worry, pray. And be thankful. And make your requests known to God. Now, I hope that you have a picture here of a New Testament church where prayer was a vital part of the church. It wasn't just an afterthought. It wasn't just something tacked on at the beginning of a service or the end of a service. Everything in the New Testament church revolved around the Word of God and prayer. The Word of God and prayer. The miracles came out of prayer. The powerful ministry came out of prayer. Knowing the will of God came out of prayer. And it was all based upon the Word of God. And so a church is only as strong as its prayer life. Okay, I'm fixing to get honest and sad. How are we at Barbie's Grove? How are we at Barbie's Grove? Now, I don't know your private prayer life. Only you know that. Now, some of you may pray 4 or 5 hours a day. I don't know. Some of you may never pray. I don't know. That's between you and the Lord. But now, what about as a corporate group, a church group? How is our prayer life? It's terrible. There's no other way to describe it. It's terrible. Now, two things I want you to be real careful. Don't let the devil put you on a guilt trip. If there are things you cannot do, don't let the devil put you on a guilt trip. There are times when you are hampered or limited. For example, you got small kids, you're limited. Small kids take up 30 hours a day, 8 days a week. Amen? Sometimes you're limited because you're caring for a loved one. I bet my mom didn't miss 5 days of church in 50 years until my dad was bedfast at home and mom became the chief caregiver, and she didn't go to church for about 18 months until daddy died, and then she was right back there in her usual spot as soon as we left the funeral almost. But for that period of time, She didn't attend. She just wasn't able. So there are times that we are limited, and don't let the devil put you on a guilt trip for that. If you're not doing because you're limited. But now be honest. Be real honest. Up in the mountains, in my last church up there, we had a fantastic Awana program for everything from the little bitty ones all the way through high school. Every Sunday night. And I had parents that come to me and said, "Now, preacher, I know that's a great program. It'd be good for my kids. But I get my kids in bed at 7 o'clock because they got school the next morning." Okay, I can accept that. Only trouble was, on Monday night, they had scouts and didn't go to bed to 9 o'clock. Tuesday night, they had gymnastics and didn't go to bed to 9 o'clock. And Thursday night, they had soccer and didn't go to bed to 9 o'clock. Church just wasn't a priority. So don't give me that junk about, "Well, I got to get the kids in bed," if you don't do it consistently. If you don't do it consistently. Same way for us as adults. I don't drive at night. Well, personally, except for church, I don't drive at night at my age, if I can help it. But don't say you don't drive at night and you don't come to church if Monday night you go to book club and Tuesday night you go to bridge and Friday night you go to Rocky River Fish House and stay till 10. Just be honest. Don't give an excuse one way and be dishonest in another way. Now, don't let the devil put you on a guilt trip. But at the same time, if the Holy Spirit puts you under conviction, and there's a difference. There's a difference. Now, let me bring you up to the sad facts. About a month ago, I preached a sermon about, is hell real? As a part of the end of it, I preached, is hell real? And do we really care about the lost? I couldn't believe not a soul came down the altar and prayed for somebody that was lost. Not a soul. Unless somebody came and I didn't see them. Back when we were having church at 10 and 11, I suggested a 9 o'clock prayer meeting on Sunday morning to save you a trip. That went over like a lead balloon. Never happened. We tried to pray between Sunday school and preaching, but sometimes Sunday school went over and that fizzled out. Wednesday night, we've got a faithful few, but not as many as we did 7 years ago because several of them have died and several don't drive at night. We have a Sunday night prayer at 5 o'clock twice a month, and most Sunday nights we can meet in my car. And at least twice I've asked for people to have a open their homes for a cottage prayer meeting. And I said, you don't feed us. Just give us a place to sit and meet and pray. One person volunteered. One person. Now, I'm just being honest. The New Testament church was a praying church. And we are not. And we'll never know the power of God nor the will of God until somehow or another we get a burden for prayer. And I can't open up your heads and pour that in, or open up your hearts and push it in. I can't give it to you in an inoculation or anything. But if we're going to be a New Testament church and not just an ordinary Baptist church, somehow or another, we're going to have to come to a place where prayer becomes more of a priority. As I said in the beginning, don't allow the Lord or the devil to put you on a guilt trip for not doing what you're not able to do. But for what you're able to do, I pray that the Lord will put some of you under conviction. I really do. Because I want to see this be a New Testament church. I'd like for us to have a little building shaking prayer once in a while. Bold witness once in a while. And if you say, well, Ed, I just don't feel that burden. Maybe you need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, why don't I feel that burden? Why am I not concerned that people are dying and going to hell so fast that it's unreal? Why, when our country is in such turmoil and our world is in such turmoil, do I not feel a burden? When 9/11 happened, the call went out, Christians, let's get together and pray. So I opened the church at the appropriate time. I could have had that prayer meeting in the cab of a tractor. I was looking for at least 20 or 30 people, and I could have had that prayer meeting in the cab of a tractor. Where's our burden? Hell is real. People have problems. Our country's in turmoil. Where's our burden? We don't need to be saying prayers. We need to be praying. We need to be communicating with God. And if we're going to be a New Testament church, that's what's going to happen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment? I've been as honest as I can be with you this morning. You can't deny from the scripture that prayer was a vital part of the New Testament church. But what about us? You can only do what you can do. What's your prayer life like? Your personal prayer life like? How many of the corporate prayer times are you involved in? How many could you be involved in if you had a burden? How many lost people do you have on a prayer list praying, oh God, please don't let them go to hell. Oh God, please send a laborer into their vineyard to reap that harvest. How often are you praying, oh Lord, give me boldness to share the word of God? How many hurting people do you lift up in prayer on a regular basis? We're going to have a moment of invitation. If someone wants to come and share something with me, you're welcome. If somebody would like to become a member of our fellowship, we invite you to come. If you need to come and to the altar and pray, and you don't have to kneel. If I knelt, I'd have to have three deacons to get me up. But we can stand or we can sit on the front pew and pray. And maybe you don't feel inclined to do that now, but would you go home and get alone this afternoon and say, Lord, give me a burden to pray. And Lord, touch the hearts of other church members that they'd have a burden to pray as well. As we sing, would you come?